Shalom, good afternoon. The topic of the shiur, my Chanukah, is taken from a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, where the Gemara asks in Aramaic, my Chanukah. When the Gemara seems to give a clear answer, it cites a baraita from Masechet Ta'anit, which describes the events of Chanukah, and it would seem that there's no reason for a whole shiur answering a question the Gemara answered. What I would like to really discuss is not my Chanukah in Aramaic, but my Chanukah in English. This is supposed to be a shiur delivered in English, even though I frequently make mistakes, and half of it is quotes from Hebrew, and sometimes I get complaints. And Rabbi Frank always corrects my English. He's not here today. Okay, so today I can make a lot of mistakes. Okay, but I would really like to discuss my Chanukah, and I would like first to start with some introductory words to explain this is not just my own desire, but I think it's rooted deeply in the way Jewish law, the way halakha relates to our memory of the past, our celebrating past events currently. And it's rooted very deeply in a philosophy of remembering. I discussed it here a while ago. I don't know if any of you have heard it. 2-3 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. And I will give in general words the major idea, which was developed a lot by my grandfather, the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his various writings, who also put it within the framework of philosophy of time. And I will go to halakhic concepts. Halakha relates many times to the past. Joyous moments and also sad moments. We remember the different experiences, the different events which happened to our nation and human beings' life and nation's life has happy and sad moments together. When we go to and look what's behind this remembering, the Jewish people are not a nation of historians. And the memory usually is not accurate dates. It's more the impact which it made upon ourselves. If you go to the, I would say, the prototype of remembrance, that is Zichron Yitziat Mitzrayim, we can see very clearly from the way Chazal have chosen to be Mesaper B'Yitziat Mitzrayim at the night of the Seder, that they have not chosen to read the events as described in Sefer Shemot. But they have chosen to do it through the mode of Midrash. And in the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, we have a machloka between Rav and Shmuel. What is Matchil Begnut Mesayim Beshvach? Rav says it's Avadim Hayinu, and Shmuel says it's Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayinu, which is, basically, it's two ways that Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is told in the Tanakh. Avadim Hayinu LeParo BeMitzrayim is in Sefer Dvarim, while Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayinu is in Sefer Yehoshua. Ovdei Avodah Yu Avoteinu, yes, thank you, is in Sefer Yehoshua. And the way Chazal have chosen to be Mesaper B'Yitziat Mitzrayim is not through reading the events themselves, but reading Parshiyot from the Tanakh, where people with perspective from a distance. In Sefer Dvarim, it's a description of somebody who enters Eretz Yisrael, and the next generation says to him, Ma'idot v'achukim v'amishpatim, and the father, from a perspective, tells them about Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yu Avoteinu is Yoshua Bin Nun, before his passing away from the world, when he's preparing Am Yisrael for their next stage. Without the leadership of Yotzei Mitzrayim, Yoshua was one of Yotzei Mitzrayim, he discusses with them too Yitziat Mitzrayim from a perspective of not more than 40 years, but 80 years. And in both of them, if we compare the two descriptions, we can see that they really emphasize different elements regarding Yitziat Mitzrayim. While Avadim Hayinu LeParo BeMitzrayim emphasizes more the physical difficulty, the shiabud, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yu Avoteinu emphasizes more the spiritual aspect. Yitziat Mitzrayim is part of a spiritual process of getting to know the Kadosh Baruch Hu, of getting closer to Har Sinai, of Israel leaving the Umot, not only because they physically were slaves, but slavery is a state of mind, and they became Ovdei Hashem. And the ability to have these two different perspectives is rooted in something very clear and simple, and that is that when we relate to past events, we don't only describe what happened, but we choose to focus on the meaning of the events, of what they mean to us. And since every event has a few sides to it, has a few aspects, there can be different choices what to emphasize. Chazal, very clearly believed in this idea, they formulated in a very simple concept, which is stated, "Lefi da'ato shel bein, aviv melamdo." Meaning there's more than one way to describe Yetziat Mitzrayim. And you can see very clearly in the Rambam, Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, in Perek Zayin, when he describes the Fi Da'ato Shel Bein Aviv Melamdo, and he brings the Machloket of Rav and Shmuel, our Noag in the Haggadah is to say both. They don't contradict themselves. You can focus on the Shiabud, you can focus on the spiritual aspects. It's very clear in the Rambam in Perek Zayin Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah. L'chadal is that the Bein HaChacham, you emphasize more of Devu Dazah Yuavoteinu, he has the ability of more abstract thought, while the so-called the Bein, the Rambam calls him HaTipesh, that we like to call the Tam, you talk to him more about the Shiabud. Because we have to match the explaining of the events and their importance to the different stages, level of the people we're telling it to. And I would even add, it's not only who we're telling it to, but it's also perhaps has to be also, you have to ask yourself about the significance of an event, where I'm standing today, and what's the significance to me? And Lori Izeh, Kira Izeh, significance of a certain event to people in a similar situation is different than people in a very different situation. And this is rooted in Psukim in the Tanakh, which are really fascinating, because in no place is there a commandment to fast on Tisha B'Av. But the Navi describes that Bnei Israel had fasted on Tisha B'Av apparently on their own, and when Bayit Sheni is rebuilt, they send a shoot, not to Rav Moshe Feinstein, but they send a shoot to the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. They ask the prophet, the Navi, what should we do? Should we continue fasting or not? That's what they ask the Navi. I once heard from the Rav that even though the Kadosh Baruch Hu answers their question, but it still remains a mitzvah Rabbanan. Yeah. Really, the Kadosh Baruch Hu functions here as a Rav who answers a question. And they ask him, I read you the Psukim, it's in Zechariah, Perek Zayin. Vayi bishnat arba l'daryavish ha-melech, היה דבר השם לזכריה בארבעה לחודש התשיעי בחיסלב, וישלח בית אל, שר עצר ורגם, מלך ואנשיו לחלות את פני אדוני. לאמור על הכהנים אשר לבית אדוני צבאות ולנביאים לאמור, האבכה בחודש החמישי הנזר כאשר עשיתי זה כמה שנים. So they emphasize, כאשר עשיתי זה כמה שנים. But what did they sense? But what's behind the question? They felt that when you fast by Tzom HaChamishi, they apparently had two options in front of them. You do not only fast because it happened in the past, but they had in mind that perhaps I fast because I'm mourning the loss of the Mikdash for me today. And therefore, if the Mikdash is rebuilt, maybe I should stop fasting. But even they asked it to continue fasting or stop, they did not have in mind the answer the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them. It teaches us a very big lesson regarding the philosophy of memory. This is from Zechariah Chet. Ko'amar Adonai Tzvot, Tzom HaRevi'i, V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShvi'i, V'Tzom HaAsiri, Yelevet Yehuda, L'Sason, U'Simcha, U'Lemoadim Tovim, V'Aimet, V'Ashalom, Mehavu. I mean, the answer is, of course, stop fasting. Because you don't fast only on what happened 70 years ago. You fast on the loss of the Mikdash today. But that doesn't mean that we stop fasting so the day ceases to exist. No. You should be happy on this day. L'sason, l'simcha, l'moadim tovim. But I think the simple explanation of this halachic ruling is that when Tisha B'Av arrives and you have a Beit Mikdash, it's not that you forget the past, but remembering the Chorban of Bayit Rishon and then looking at Bayit Sheni, it gives you a sense of you appreciate what you have. We're all familiar with the phenomena that we appreciate things when we don't have them. Like people appreciate their health when they're sick, right? They love their relatives when they're remote from them. Adolescents especially, you know. When they're at home, they don't say hello to you, but when they're far away from home, you know, they get full of love. And it's not people, I mean, I mentioned health. People start watching after their health after they had a heart attack, not before. But perhaps you should watch your health when you're healthy. Don't lose it. But it's a very known phenomena within human nature. And when you, on Tisha B'Av, when you have a bayit, you remember that it's not something which is taken for granted. Meaning, when I'll explain to you the way at least the Rav explained in one of his essays, The Sacred and Profane, this human phenomena. Because we take things for granted. And I'll bring you an example from health. We take it for granted that we can walk. But you, I think, can tell us that having difficulty walking, no, you really appreciate walking. That's why, because before, or most of us who did not experience difficulty walking, we can't imagine ourselves not walking, and therefore we don't appreciate it. It's part of us. But when I realize that I can lose it, then I separate it from myself, and now I start appreciating it. I think that the most biggest challenge you have is when Bezrat Hashem you'll feel better is not to forget this experience. Meaning it's I look back in my life with such experiences, it's very easy to forget and to go back to what I was before. But this is what's rooted in this human phenomena. It's that we don't appreciate what we have because we don't realize it's a gift, it's a present. And therefore, when you're able and go back to the Psukim on Soma Chamishi, you're able to realize that Bayit Sheni is something which you can be without it. Kadosh Baruch Hu could take it away from us if we don't deserve it. You appreciate it more. And therefore it's l'sason or l'simcha. Within these psukim is the whole philosophy of Jewish remembrance. It's not only relating to the past, it's relating to the impact of the past upon my contemporary situation, my present life, and therefore you have to celebrate the Chagim differently if you are in a different situation. The Navi ends the prophecy with a small statement which enfolds this whole idea too. Vayemet vashalom ehavu. When you relate to the past, you always have to have your face to the present. You always have to have a moral decision. You have to change something within your contemporary society as a result of the memory. And this idea is developed by the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. For example, I read to you in Ilchot Yom Tov. When the Rambam describes Simchat Yom Tov, the Rambam writes the following, Shu'ochel v'shote, Chayav le'achil, lager, le'yatom v'la'almana. Yisharanim o'umlanim. You have to have some moral impact. You have to care for the needy when you have a Simchat Yom Tov. Aval mi she'noel daltot chatzero, you lock the door, v'ochel v'shote hu v'anav, he eats alone, he doesn't ask himself, are there maybe perhaps people around here who don't have a meal? It's in Evel and Yom Tov, it's the same idea. And therefore, going back to our topic of the Shiur, asking my Chanukah is really asking my Chanukah, which is a halachic obligation, I would say, that we should ask ourselves, what are we celebrating? What impact does it have upon our lives today? And I would like to start with the answer the Bavli gives, with your permission, which I stated before, maybe it closed the topic, but the truth is it only opened it. That's for a simple reason. The Bavli quotes the Braita, it's on our page, whoever wants to see it, in Masechet Ta'anit, where I'll explain to you a little bit. Masechet Ta'anit is a fearless written text of Torah Shebal Peh, of the Oral Law. And the Braita of the Masechet Ta'anit includes two parts. Megillat Tanit, yes, thank you. Oh, you are here. Thank you. Now you're correcting my Hebrew, it's even better. Thank you. Thank you so much. Megillat Tanit. The Brayta themselves are in Aramaic. It's a common idea that they wrote them in Aramaic because in that time the oral law was not written and they wanted to differentiate between the written oral law and the Bible, and therefore they wrote in Aramaic. And then there's like a, it's called Scholion, which is in Greek, it's interpretation, which explains what these dates are about, because Megillat Ta'anit is a list of dates where you don't fast and you don't eulogize. I have in the yeshiva somebody who helps me with my shir, an assistant who has a calendar with a list of yahrzeits. And he's a chassid with his, in his soul, and he always tells me, I said to him not to say tachnun, but we compromised to discuss, explain to the students who these great Torah sages are, that the yahrzeit is in that date. But that's Megillat Ta'anit. It's a list of dates where events occurred, but the Megillah itself did not explain what happened on those dates. And that this Cholyon explains. And the Bavli quotes it. The Tanur Rabbanan, Bekafei Bekislev, Yomei Dechanukah Tamnaya Inon. Chanukah is 8 days. Delala Mispad Ba'on, Lalitanot Ba'on. This is the end of the date. And now this Cholyon starts, Shenichnesu Yevanim La'echal Tim'u Kol Hashmanim Sheba'echal. וכשגברה מלכות בית חשמונאי וניצחום, בדקו ולא מצאו אלא פח אחד של שמן שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא היה בו אלא להדליק יום אחד. I assume you're familiar with the story. נעשה בו נס, והדליקו ממנו 8 ימים. לשנה אחרת קבעום ועשאום ימים טובים בעלל ועודה. As I mentioned before, לפי דעתו של בן, אביב מלמדו, this is a story we tell our children also in kindergarten, and we should tell them this story. But the truth is, when you look at this explanation for Chanukah, you should be perplexed when you grow up a little. And ask yourself, we have to celebrate for, it's already now more than 2,000 years, you have to celebrate a whole holiday which is celebrating a miracle because they found a Pach Shel Shemen and they were able to light it. What? You would expect that when you make a holiday, you celebrate something for generations, more than 2,000 years, that there's some very important central event, I would say, within the life of the Jewish people. Is this so central? And the truth is that when you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah, the Rambam, I think, was bothered by this question, and therefore he really introduced us to Chanukah in a different way, trying to explain what is the significance of the meaning of Nes Pach HaShemen. The Rambam starts with Chot Chanukah, with the story of Chanukah, which is really unusual. It's a book of laws. He should have told us what the laws of Chanukah are. And the answer is very simple. Since the central mitzvah of Chanukah is Persumei Nisa, so you have to know what the Nes is. You have to go to a shir, which asks my Chanukah, I mean this. The first my Chanukah, because you have to know what to tell your children. You have to know what to be mefarshim saying. What is the miracle? Hilchot Megillah. He did not start with the story of Purim for a simple reason. You can read in the Megillah, but since Chanukah is Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Rambam brings in Hilchot Chanukah the story of Chanukah, and he brings the following story: B'bayit Sheni Kshemalchu Yavan Gazru Gzerot Al Yisrael Ubitlu Datam. ולא הניחו אותם לעסוק בתורה ובמצוות. ופשטו ידם בממונם ובבנותיהם, ונכנסו להיכל, ופרצו בו פרצות וטימו הטהרות. וצר להם לישראל מאוד מפניהם, ולחצום לחץ גדול. I would like first to explain the tzara. What was the shiabud? The same way in Pesach, you have מתחיל בגנות, נסיים בשבח. What was the gnut? When you see the Rambam's description, you very clearly see, not a, I would say, important event, but founding a Pach Shemen. But it's really, I would say, a real challenge on the continuity of Judaism. He's describing here in very simple words the Hellenism. Today we're not far from that with globalization, meaning was there room within the Hellenistic world which believed in cultural syncretism and everybody being the similar? Alexander the Great uniting East and West. Is there room within the Greek world that believed in the polis, had its own ideals and values. Is there room for Jews to be unique, to be the word of the Ram, in the words of the Ram, be oseg b'torah v'mitzvot? Can the Jewish people preserve their uniqueness within among the nations? This is the gnut, this is the challenge of Chanukah. And Malchei Yavan gazlu gzerot al Yisrael bitlu datam pashtu yadam mamam uvivnotahem, and if chalila they would have succeeded, that could have been the end of Judaism. Nichnesu la'ichal parzu ba'pratzot timu ta'arot v'tzar lehem Yisrael mod mipnehem ulechatzun lachatz gadol matchil begnut מסיים בשבח, continues the Rambam, עד שריחם עליהם אלוקי אבותינו והושיעם מידם והצילם וגברו בני חשמונאי הכהנים הגדולים והרגום והושיעו ישראל מידם. In other words, the significance of the events of Chanukah is the ability to have to continue Jewish tradition. More than that, the Rambam points out, וחזרה מלכות לישראל יתר על 200 שנה עד החורבן השני. The Rambam also emphasizes not only the metaphysical, spiritual side of Torah and Mitzvot, it's here too, just like in Pesach. He has over here the spiritual side, but also the national side. The value of חזרה מלכות לישראל. Just to give some historical perspective, I'll return to it later. Since the destruction of the First Temple until 1948, the establishment of the State of Israel, the only significant, I would say, statehood of Jews, independent Jewish state, was the time of the Chashmonaim, around 80 years of independence. We're not far from them. Otherwise, we should be much longer than them. But you have to realize this is something which is really unique, very, very special. Well, the Rambam describes over here Chazra Malchut Yisrael Yater Al 200 Shana, which I would say our current historical data is different. I heard many times from Rav Amital that perhaps the Rambam considered Hordus also as Malchut Yisrael. He liked to quote that in Yom Ha'atzmaut, saying, we're not worse than Hordus, you know. I mean, I don't know what you think about the secular state, but I think Hordus was much worse. And that too is Malchut Yisrael. It doesn't answer everything, because I don't think you can consider the Roman Nitzivim as Malchut Yisrael. I mean, whatever. I mean, Hordus dies in 4. Year 4, and the structure of the Second Temple is 70. You can't really match it, fit it with our current knowledge. But the Rambam does emphasize, just like as Pesach, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the challenge on Jewish tradition, and the challenge also on the Jewish survival. And Chazra Malchut Yisrael is part of Chanukah. And Neis Pach HaShemen is not what we're celebrating. Neis Pach HaShemen, the Rambam, is in Halacha Bet. It explains something else. What does it explain? Rambam continues. Shagavru Yisrael oivehem ve'ibdum b'chamisha ve'esrim b'chodesh kislev haya ve'nichnesu la'ichal ve'lo matzu shemen tahor b'migdash el ha'pach echad ve'lo yabod adlik el yom echad bilvad ve'dliku b'meno nevot ha'maracha shmuna yamim ad shekatshu zeitim ve'otziu shemen tahor u'mipnei ze. In other words, the Neis Pach HaShemen is not the event that we celebrate. Neis Pach HaShemen explains why Chanukah is on Kafei B'Kislev, and why is it 8 days, and why do we celebrate it lighting candles. It's not the event we're celebrating. We're celebrating what's mentioned before. Chazar Malchut Yisrael, we're celebrating that Hinichu La'asok Torah Mitzvot. That's what we're celebrating. Neis Pach HaShemen and the Rambam explains the halachic formulation of the holiday. Why did they make it an 8-day holiday? Why on Kafei B'Kislev? Why lighting candles? So the answer is, we do it on Kafei B'Kislev, 8 days lighting candles, because of the Pach Shemen. Because the Chashmonaim did Chanukat HaMikdash on Kafei B'Kislev, and they lit the menorah, meaning it's a chag also relating to the Mikdash. But we don't celebrate that. We formulated it because of, I mean, the Rambam apparently read my Chanukah, is why did they formulate Chanukah this way? What other holiday do we know that you celebrate through lighting candles? The answer is because of Pach HaShemen. We don't celebrate the Pach HaShemen. This is the way the Rambam explains it. The Pnei Yehoshua and the Meshech Chochmah have a very similar explanation, which is a little different than the Rambam. I feel that their suggestion is very relevant for our generation, and I would like for us to see what they say and then try to transfer to my Chanukah or our Chanukah. The Pnei Yehoshua was one of the great rabbis of the 18th century in Germany. And he wrote a commentary on the Shas, and he's the time of the Vilna Gaon. And he asks over there a very simple question. V'lichora, he writes, it's line 33. Yesh li t'moa. Kol toach hanes hazeh lama. Why do you need the miracle of Pach HaShemen? And he confronts it from a halachic perspective. The kaimalan tuma utra betzibur v'yicholin ladlik b'shemen tameh. There's a law that even though you're not allowed to enter the mikdash or do avodah when you're tameh, English word?
Impure.
Impure, thank you. Tameh sounds better. Okay, but impure. But if it's a bit betzibur, meaning if it's for the public running of the mikdash, so tuma utra betzibur. In other words, the Pnei Yehoshua was asking, they could have lit with the shemen tameh. So why did they need the miracle to find Shemen Tahor? And he gives a very simple answer, which I think is really beautiful. The purpose of the miracle, as described by the Gemara, by the Brayta and Masechet Ta'anit, is not because they could not be Mekayim a mitzvah. And I don't think that if you have a mitzvah, you can't be Mekayim, you need a miracle. The purpose of the miracle, or of remembering the miracle, is not because you were able to be Mekayim the mitzvah. You could do it without the miracle too. But I would say it a little differently. So don't be Mekayim mitzvah. You're an anus. What can you do? What, for 2,000 years you celebrate that they had a nes to Mekayim mitzvah? That's how I would ask the question. And what he says is a very simple answer. The significance of the nes is not because they needed it. I would say it's the opposite. Because you don't need it, that's why it's significant. It's not a functional nes. If it was for functional purposes, it happened. Thank you very much. Because it's not needed, that's why it has significance. It's the way, if you think in many, I would say, parts of our life, which have a functional side, but also a more symbolic side, the more functional it is, the less symbolic it is, because perhaps you're doing it for the functionality. The moment it's not functional, then it becomes symbolic. Like jewelry is symbolic because it doesn't warm you, doesn't cover you, it just shows something. My yarmulke is not too functional, even though it covers my losing hair, but it doesn't protect me from the sun or from the rain. And that's why it's a symbol. People know that I don't wear this. If I wear like a hat, people would say, oh, maybe I'm cold or something like that. This, the only reason to wear this is to tell a story. It became so symbolic today that there's a whole industry of different types of yarmulkes. Now, you can know from my yarmulke if I like the state of Israel, I don't like, I went to the army. I mean, you can know many things, but the different sizes, you know. I mean, there are many things like that. Like, there's no halachic obligation to grow a beard. The people who have beards, they don't do it because they have to, because they want to. And it tells a story. And many parts of our life are like that. What the Pnei Yehoshua is really saying is, discussing the miracles, not because we needed it. He said, you don't celebrate that. Because we did not need it. Because Tuma Utra Betzibur, or because I, in my words, could have been an anus. That's why it has a story. Now what's the story? I'm reading it. L'chach nir'es, says the Pnei Yehoshua. Yikar ha'nes lo na'asa elo lo'odia lahem chibat ha'makom alehem. Kedei ashkechan, she'na'asa ze ha'nes tamid, she'lo nimsa psul ba'omer uvishtei alechem. Vo'il v'itrachesh lo nisa b'ikar ha'inyan she'nigalu ge'ula shlema b'yad malchut yavan ha'resha'a. שהיו אומרים לישראל כתבו על קרן השור שאין לכם חלק באלוקי ישראל. קרן השור are like stickers today in cars, you know. So then they didn't have cars, they had a shore. So you put a sticker on your, and the ox's horn.
Bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers, yeah, that's what you would put. And they told him, make a sticker, שאין לכם חלק באלוקי ישראל, וגזרו כמה שמדיות, ועכשיו שנגלו ונעשה להם נס גדול ששלטו בשונאיהם, לכך נעשה להם גם כן נס זה בעניין הנרות, שהוא עדות לישראל שהשכינה שורה בהם. I'll explain in English. I'll try in English to explain what the Pnei Yeshua says here. Pnei Yeshua says that one of the major challenges of Bayit Sheni, of the Bayit itself too, was the absence of a clear, evident Hashra'at Shechina. We all know Bayit Rishon had a clear, evident Hashra'at Shechina. But Bayit Sheni, there's no Aron, there's no Urim V'tumim, you don't have the Anan, the cloud above the tent, above the oil. The Mishnah in Avot describes the differences between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. And part of the Greek philosophy, which was at stake during the Hashmonaim time, during the revolt, was if you have Chelek Ve'elokei Yisrael or not. Does God love you or not? Does He reveal Himself or not? And they told them, make a bumper sticker, Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. It's a naturalistic world. It's run by humans. There's no divine ruling of the world. When events happen, you explain them to yourself, not through divine providence, you explain them to yourself through human
action.
That's how you explain it. And when the Chashmonaim beat the Greeks, they were like waiting for some symbol from heavens. I mean, they were like waiting for some sign. Kadosh Baruch Hu should like mitzitz min acharakim. He should just like show his revelation. And a miracle, the changing of the order of nature, that itself is a revelation. Because when the world goes through its
natural course.
So you don't see the divine ruling of the world behind the events. That's true about natural laws, but it's also true about social sciences rules and laws. Like I discussed here, is Rabbi Rubin
here?
When we discussed here a few months ago, the Rav's attitude to the state of Israel. The reason the Rav was convinced that the establishment of the State of Israel is not only an important, significant event, but it has religious significance, it's a divine revelation, was because he sensed that it was against the rules and laws of political science. He always talked about the vote at the UN, Kaftet in November 1947, that that's the only decision in the United Nations for 30 years that East and West voted together. It was against all political rules. And therefore, he believed that there's some divine revelation here. But the Pnei Yeshua is describing as they're waiting for some symbol from heaven, some Eish Min HaShamayim, and that is the Pach HaShemen. When the Meshech Chochma, the Noi Simcha Kohen from Dvinsk, he develops a similar idea in his parish for Breishit. I'll read it to you. It's on line 25. Va'borek en bo mayim, says the Meshech Chochma. Haroeh makom shenasa lo nes, mevarech baruch shasa li nes b'makom hazeh. But what is a nes? Well, how do you define what's included in this halachic obligation? And he explains, ha'pirush kidivrei Abu Draham dafka sheyatza miderech hateva. It doesn't match natural order. That's pretty natural. You just light a match and you have a flame. Mishum shenasa nes bepach hashemen, sheze neged hateva. V'hine, ikar anes lenitzchon malchut Antiochus. V'Yisrael kiblu melucha 200 shana. He read the Rambam very carefully. V'lezikaron tzarich la'ir nerot, v'laze sagi bechazuta be'alma. Ach lohorot al neis pach hashemen tzich dafka diya shalta be'ena, etc., etc. But he develops the same idea. Of course, you don't celebrate the neis pach hashemen. Again, I'm repeating, I'm convinced lafi da'ato shal ben aviv melamdo, don't give a too complex story to the five-year-olds. Tell them neis pach hashemen. But make sure when they grow up to discuss it, to reopen the topic, to develop a deeper understanding of what we're celebrating. It seems very clearly from the Rambam, from the Pnei Yeshua, from the Meshech Chochma, they're all telling us that the Pach HaShemen has an important message within the building, the paradigm, the story of Chanukah. But we don't celebrate the Pach HaShemen, we celebrate the significant events of that time, which have an impact until these days. And the Pach HaShemen is a very important component. The Bavli focuses on the Pach HaShemen because the Pach HaShemen was able to or formulate the details of the Chag where the Rambam describes it, but where the Pnei Yeshua and Meshech Chochma describe, this is what gave them like the assurance that this is something divine. This is Miyad Hashem. It's a Gilui Shechina. And the idea of the Pnei Yeshua and Meshech Chochma, I feel, is very significant for our Chanukah today. Because we try to ask ourselves, from our current contemporary life, my Chanukah, two very dramatic things have changed in the past, I don't know how many years, but I would say around within the last 100 years, a little more even. Two very dramatic things have changed within the way Jews live and the way they understand the past, which to some extent has to cause us to rethink, to reconsider, to re-ask ourselves, my Chanukah. One is our knowledge of the past and the way we relate to the past. Modern thought is by nature the world, the way humanity understands the world is historical thought. And we have a lot of knowledge of the past today, much more than our fathers had years ago. We have much more knowledge of what happened in the past. We know more about the Chashmonaim than previous generations, but more than that, since contemporary scientific thought is critical, modern thought also started re-questioning what was common to think about the past. And when we try to build our attitude, or the way we understand the past and we celebrate it, part of it has to take into account, you should take into account, to ignore is also a choice, what we know about the past. That's in one hand. On the other hand, something more dramatic has changed. That is not only that we know more about the past, but we are, on the one hand, very close, maybe the closest, I mentioned it before, from generations and generations of Jews to the Chashmonaim period. We are the closest. We have a state. We are Jews who, I would say, took weapons in their hands. And they fought for a Jewish independence here within the state of Israel and established a state. And it's no secret that Zionism retold the story of Hanukkah. Zionism loves Hanukkah. Secular Zionism had a real deep problem with the way Jews lived in the diaspora. Part of Zionism is a revolt. It's a call to change the way Jews live, to return Jews to history. When they looked desperately at the past for Jews to identify with, there was a time that they loved also the Jews of the Great Revolt. Although lately, as I'm sure you're aware, with the changes in the political ideas and attitudes within contemporary Israeli society, some think that there were zealots who made big mistakes. But in the 50s, 60s, when Yadin found the Tzadah, you know, most of you are older than me, can just perhaps remember the enthusiasm. And that is true about the Chashmonaim much more than the Kanaim, because the Chashmonaim were a successful revolt. Here are Jews who stood up against their oppressors, who were able to fight, who succeeded establishing a state, and Hanukkah became, within, I would say, Zionism, from a religious celebration, celebrating saving us from Shmad, the ability to be Mekayim Mitzvot, became into a national holiday of Jewish independence. If I go back to the two sides of Pesach, Mitzvah of Avodah Zarah Yu Avoteinu was taken out of the, I would say, story, and more and more emphasis on Chazra Malchut, the Israel of the Rambam. I brought you on the second side of the page one of the most famous songs that were sung among Zionism about Chanukah. אנו נוסעים לפידים בלילות אפלים, זוכים השבילים מתחת רגלינו, ומי אשר לא, לב לא הצמא לאור, יישא את עיניו וליבו אלינו לאור ויבוא. נס לא קרה לנו, פח שמן לא מצאנו, because who does it? We do it. כוחי ועוצם ידי עשה לי את החיל הזה. And the Hanukkah songs become Maccabi, Moshiach, Umagen, and Oichanukkah, Oichanukkah, Yontev Hasheni in Yiddish, which ends with the miracles that God does for the Jews, right? Where it became in translation into modern Hebrew, it became Al Anisim V'Al Aniflaot Asher Cholalu HaMakabim. That's what Hanukkah became. Hanukkah became a national holiday of Kochi V'Otzim Yadi Asali Et HaChayel Hazeh. I would say, going back to the Bavli, asking my Hanukkah and talking about Neis Pach HaShemen, what they did was say, Neis Lo Kara Lanu Pach HaShemen Lo Matzanu, we do it ourselves. Just like Bar Kochva. According to the way the Gemara and Ta'anit, Yerushalmi and Ta'anit describes him, he goes, Baruch Hu, don't help us, don't bother. Let me do it on my own. This is the way Hanukkah was told among Zionism. It's well celebrated in Israel till today. It's a nice holiday. And one of my wife's friends once told her, I love Hanukkah. She said, it's 8 days, and there's no chametz on the one hand. No, you don't have to clean the house for a month before, and there's no sukkah. You just be in the house and enjoy it. And Zionism loves Hanukkah, but the way I described it here. So at the same time, in the 50s, the Rav is in New York, Boston, and he also discusses Hanukkah, and perhaps you're familiar with this volume, Days of Deliverance. There are a few essays here on Hanukkah. Recently, a few weeks ago, was published a volume of the Rav's Yiddish writings, in Yiddish. You see it?
Yeah.
You read Yiddish?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there are two drushas there for Hanukkah from the 50s. And when you see how the Rav too retold the story of Hanukkah, the Rav doesn't talk about, I'll tell you, if the heroes of Hanukkah, of the Zionist movement, are Jews who know how to take weapons and fight for their freedom, that's the story told in the 20th century by secular Zionism. In 1950s in America, the heroes which resemble the Chashmonaim are American Orthodox Jews who heroically observe halakha even though it's not too popular. I mean, the Rav too conceptualized Hanukkah as the idea of heroism. But heroism in the Rav's eyes was a spiritual heroism. And you can see it described very well in this volume. He keeps describing how, I would say, the same Jews who didn't go to Eretz Israel but went to America, they are the true followers of the Chashmonaim. Because there's a heroism in their behavior and their character and the way they observe halacha. Personally, I feel, this is for you, Rabbi Rubin, okay? As a religious Zionist, okay, that I would like to combine together both stories of Hanukkah. I don't think they contradict each other. The same way in the night of the Seder, we're able to tell both. We're able to say also Avadim Ahinu and Mitchila of the Avodah Zara Yu Avoteinu. I think we can do the same thing in Hanukkah too. But here we cannot ignore that, I would say, somebody who did serve in the IDF, that there is something within the Zionist, I would say, perspective, which I identify with too. I mentioned before that we have today more historical knowledge, and also we have a more critical understanding of the past. There's an historian, his name is really fascinating, his name is Bar Kochva, Bezalel Bar Kochva, who wrote a book on the Chashmonaim. It's called The Wars of the Chashmonaim, Milchamot HaChashmonaim. He analyzed all their battles and reached the following conclusion. Conclusion was that in all the battles they have won, they numerically had more soldiers than the Greeks. They were guerrilla fighters who were familiar with the topography of the area. And they won the war because they run their tactics properly. In all the battles where the Greeks have brought, the Selefska have brought the whole army, and they had more ammunition, more weapons, and were positioned better to the Greeks won all those battles. When I would say the story of Hanukkah that he's telling is a story of a guerrilla war, which was won by guerrilla fighters who usually win the wars they fight. I mean, look at Lebanon War, our Lebanon War. I don't know who won or lose, but we don't feel good about it. That's all I can say. And you should know that he annoyed another historian, Daniel Schwartz, who is a professor at Hebrew University, who wrote Bar Kokhba a great critique of his article. He says to him, what happened to the spirit of the Hashmonaim? What happened to the heroism, to Gvura? What happened to... And Bar Kokhba writes back, of course it exists. But I would say, the story of Hanukkah, when I combine together historical knowledge on the one hand, and on the other hand, when you take together that, I personally think it's good that Jews take weapons to their hands and try to fight for their independence. It's not necessarily a story of passive Jews. This is my Hanukkah. Not a story of passive Jews. Kadosh Baruch Hu miraculously saved them. But it's humans who took responsibility upon their fate, who were courageous and heroic enough to revolt, even though a small group to revolt against an empire is not a simple thing to do. And if you think it is, so look what happened at the Great Revolt in the year 66. The Romans just oppressed the revolt. And it is a chag where there is some type of kochiva otzem yadi, but the Torah taught us that a Jew is not sustained from saying kochiva otzem yadi asali techar lazeh. What the Torah demands us is to remember who gave us the koach la'asot chayil. The Ran in his drashot, I'll read it to you. The Ran says the following. It's in Drusha Siri of the Ran. The Ran says, "Lefi ze ye emet b'tzad ma shiuchal ha'ashir lomar kochi ve'otzem yadi asali techar lazeh." If you're successful, it's the right thing to say. Im kol ze, im yot shakoach ahu natua b'cha, you do have koach v'otzem yad. Zachor tizkor, shakoach ahu minetano elecha, remember who gave you that might. Umi'ayin ba, hu omro, you just read the psukim properly. Vezachalta et Hashem alokecha, ki hanoten lecha koach lasot chayil. Lo amar, he doesn't say, V'zacharta ki Hashem Elokecha noten lecha chayil. She'im ken, if that's what the Torah would say, haya marchik, she'akoach hanatua ba'adam lo yesibayim ta'id ba'asifat ahon. It would take away from humans their responsibility for their actions. If somebody wants to be rich, he should work on it. He should be a good businessman. That's what makes you rich. Not only that, but also that. And he says the humans should know that they have to act. V'ein ha'davar came, and v'ein ha'davar came, it's not presence sent from heavens. The state of Israel would not be established, the Jewish people would not be the way they are today, people would not take responsibility, the Jewish people of Zionism would not take responsibility upon Jewish fate. That didn't require a certain revolt. As a religious Zionist, I want the revolt to be a holy revolt, Hamered HaKadosh, a revolt which doesn't revolt against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but a revolt which knows, revolts against the way Jews lived before, and taking responsibility and expecting, waiting for God's blessing our actions, knowing that He's the one behind the scenes. I would say waiting, unlike the song Neis Lo Ka'alanu, waiting for that Neis, waiting for that Pach Shem, and realizing that our generation, more than previous generation, needs a Pach Shem. Because the question, the dilemma around Zionism today is exactly not having a Pach Shem. I'm going back to that talk on Yom HaTzmaut. To the Rabbi, it was very clear that since the establishment of the State of Israel is against the rules of political science, it's a divine revelation. But that wasn't clear to everybody. The Panavizhe Rav, if I can refer to a different approach, Panavizhe Rav and Yom HaTzmaut and his yeshiva and Panavizhe, Bnei Brak, the Panavizhe yeshiva in Bnei Brak, he would, on the one hand, raise a flag, but they would not say Hallel and not say Tachnun. And when he was once asked, why do you do so? He said, I'm like Ben-Gurion. He also doesn't say Hallel, doesn't say Tachnun. Which is a very nice way of saying, it's a nice event, it's important. I mean, I would say simply in my eyes, you have to be blind not to see that something significantly changed in the way the Jewish people lives. Be blind. But it has no religious significance, meaning it's not a divine act. That's very different than the way the Rav described it. But I would say not having a Pach Shemen, not having a clear sense of an ace, what the Pei Yeshua described is exactly what our generation feels. On one hand, we feel we're in great times. We feel that things are changing. I would say the way the Hashmonaim revolted, Zionism revolted, and Zionism took responsibility upon the way Jews live. And Hanukkah can celebrate that too. But what Hanukkah wants to add, and here I have my standpoint totally different than that of the way Hanukkah is celebrated in the State of Israel, is that the idea of Hanukkah exactly is telling us, the ancestors is the Yorishim, I want to say. The hires, okay, the hires of the Chashmonaim, they need the Pach Shemen more than previous generations, because the Pach Shemen is to tell us that it's Hashem Elokecha noten lecha koach lasot chayil. I mean, Hanukkah today by us should be celebrated not the way the Rav describes it, the Iraq Jews of Washington Heights, which were heroic for their times and places, but the heroic Jews of Eretz Israel of 2010, 2009 still. Celebrate Hanukkah, taking responsibility upon their fate, living in Eretz Israel, being part of the State of Israel, but wanting to add to the State of Israel the religious aspect, the Pach Shemen, that little pach is what makes the whole difference. And when I light my Hanukkah licht outside, because I have this chut to live in Eretz Israel, we can light your Hanukkah licht not inside. The Gemara says that they started lighting inside Mipnei Hasakana, which really means it changed the whole meaning of Hanukkah. We take our Hanukkah licht outside, we go back to the times of the Chashmonaim, we imitate them. By the same way Matityahu said, Mila Hashem Elai, we say Mila Hashem Elai too. And lighting the Hanukkah licht is not necessarily forgetting the human element involved in the events of Hanukkah, but giving the humans who were involved the right perspective on their success. Now I would add that if the Rambam emphasized Chazra Malchut Yisrael, I think he's adding something additional, which is very important in my eyes, to emphasize with Hanukkah in our times. We like to emphasize, rightfully so, the revolt. Well, the Rambam added to the story of Hanukkah is not only the revolt, but also the state, the Chashmonei state. And today, I would say, living in the State of Israel, the 63rd year since it was established, 62nd year? Yes. 52nd, okay. Yeah, it's a 62nd year. We are very close to the Chashmonaim, not at the time of the revolt. Most of what I described before was true for the beginning of Zionism. But now we are very close to the statehood. I would say not Yehuda and Elazar Chashmonaim, we're closer today to Yanai. And there's a very big difference between the time of the revolt and the time of the state. Just the name Yanai says the whole story. You know, he had two names. What was his Hebrew name? Yonatan, right. But he has a Greek name. His name is Yanai. And the Chashmonai state had Milchamot Achim, had civil wars. The Chashmonai state was Hellenized to some certain extent. And I would say the Chashmonaim, their state, it's like a mirror to us. I would say even it's a warning to us that a Jewish state can also end if you don't run it properly. And I feel very clearly that our obligation today when we celebrate Hanukkah, if I were to say, what's my emet v'shalom ehavu? It's not to join the IDF forces, but it's to ask, how do I impact the way the state of Israel looks spiritually? How do I have an impact upon the face of the society, of its values, of its relationship to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's my responsibility on Chanukah. And I would add, I want to share with you a little short insight related to Parshiyot HaShavua, which I thought of recently. You know, Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu both experience Ra'av, famine. And Avraham goes to Mitzrayim while Yitzchak is commanded by the Kadosh Baruch Hu to stay in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, in his commentary to Bereishit, was critical of Avraham Avinu. He says he should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael too. But I would like to suggest that perhaps the difference in their behavior... Look, Yitzchak wanted to go to Mitzrayim too. The Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Yitzchak and told him not to. That the difference is not that Abraham sinned while Yitzchak did not sin, but they had a different mission. They reflect different missions, and therefore the famine, the ra'av, the experience had to be dealt with by them differently. Avraham Avinu is the wanderer. He has to choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. He comes from Haran. When you look at Haran and compare it to Eretz Yisrael, it's not too clear to me what's the contrast. When you listen to the beginning of Lech Lecha, what was the Nisayon of Avraham? Well, mostly was leaving his family. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Mulatecha, Beit Avicha, which is a real Nisayon. But when they look for a Shidduch, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't like the girls there, so they go back to Haran. When Avraham sent the Eved, he didn't tell him, from my family, just go to Haran, you'll find a good family. Apparently, the Haran was a place where Avraham Avinu could find his match. The Ra'av that takes him to Mitzrayim is, I think, for a simple reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to go to Mitzrayim, because he wanted Avraham Avinu to enter Eretz Yisrael, not from Haran, but to re-enter it from Mitzrayim. And why is that so? Because Mitzrayim is in a contrast to Eretz Yisrael. Why was there no Ra'av in Mitzrayim? Because they have the Nile. Eretz Yisrael lives on Nimtar HaShamayim Tishteh Mayim, on rain. Baruch Hashem, we're doing, Kosh Baruch Hu is revealing Himself to us through all the rains. Eretz Mitzrayim, which is, its economics is different. It's in Eretz where they don't live with a sense of closeness to God. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to go to Mitzrayim in order that he should enter Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim, to choose Eretz Yisrael, comparing it to Mitzrayim. And this we see very clearly through the character of Lot. Because Lot came with Avraham from Haran, but when they go to Mitzrayim and they re-enter, Lot doesn't get along anymore in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently coming from Haran to Eretz Yisrael, he got along well. It wasn't so different. But entering from Mitzrayim, suddenly Lot and Avraham don't get along. And what does Lot do when Avraham says to him, choose? He goes to Sdom, which is described by the Torah as Kulam Ashkeh Kegan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. So Avraham Avinu had to go to Mitzrayim in order to re-enter Eretz Yisrael, in order to re-enter it from a contrast. When we celebrate on Pesach, Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's not only being freed from the slavery, but it's also being freed from living in Egypt, moving to Eretz Yisrael. And Sefer Bemidbar, Bnei Yisrael have great difficulty making that transition, making that shift. So they stay in the Midbar. Only the next generation will go in. Yitzchak two experiences famine Rav. But he's told by the Kadosh Baruch Hu to stay in Eretz Yisrael, and that's for a very simple reason. It's related to what I described, to what I discussed before. Because Yitzchak Avinu's role is not to discover Eretz Yisrael, but it's to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu, he digs the same wells as his father, that the Plishtim Sitmum. Yitzchak Avinu is the teaching us the idea of continuity, of continuing the Avraham Avinu's revolution, realizing that a revolution who has no followers, no continuation, the second generation's role, mission, is to continue, not to aspire to new ideas, but to hold on to the old ideas. And that is Yitzchak Avinu's role. Yitzchak Avinu, he has to be in Eretz Yisrael when it's difficult, in order to show us that even when it's difficult, you clinch to it, you stay on. And Yitzchak Avinu experiences Ra'av, which is an Eretz Yisrael difficulty, because in Mitzrayim, they have all the gold, they have all the food. But Yitzchak Avinu, when he has Ra'av, is told, give us an example, teach us, please teach us how to stay even when it's difficult. And that is Medinat Yisrael today. We're closer to Yitzchak Avinu. The founding generation was like Avraham Avinu, closer to the Yehuda Maccabi, to Elazar. Today, our challenge is to be in a state which is getting old, which is middle-aged, I would say, okay? 60s young. Middle-aged. There's corruption. Spiritually, the state is not well. And our mission, our role, is like Yitzchak Avinu, to stay here, to fight for the character of the way Israeli society looks, to have responsibility. Haemet v'shalom mehavu. I wish upon all of us, we should all have a meaningful and happy Chanukah.